It's time for Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Well, folks, there is Mr. Wysoon trotting down the trail there, ready to get to the campfire and visit with all of us. Larry, good morning to you, buddy.
You know what? I'm almost out of breath from all that stuff right now.
Well, this morning, a good campfire looks pretty good, doesn't it?
It really does, I'll tell you. It's a glorious morning. Hunting season, unfortunately, is just about past. We've got a lot of good hunting and fishing coming up, though. So, life is good. It continues to be that way.
That's right. And I've learned a long time ago a whole lot about that topic. It's just the way you look at it, by golly. You know, I've got some friends that are sad right now. they're in the doldrums. Luke, you know, the thing is going to be all the way till next year before we go hunting again. Well, no, because you know what? I'm going to go hog hunting, not tomorrow night, but in 2 nights. I'm going to be out try to get me some fresh pork, Larry.
Oh, you know what? My little place, we're starting to see some hogs here, and we spent a little bit of time out there as well, too. Came off the Dallas Fire Club show, the SHOT show, and all those kind of things. Been an absolutely fantastic show. And just remind people right now that next year, in 2020, the DSC convention is going to be a little bit earlier. I think it's going to be like the 7th, 8th, 9th, somewhere along through there. And now's a good time to start getting ready for that, but I'm getting ready for another trip. Blake Barnett, who as of January 1st, actually, Blake has taken over the television show, and after all the years of him working for me, now I'm working for him. But he and I are headed to Spain to hunt ibex in not very distant future, pretty darn close. They won't be long before we leave. And I've got a Ruger number one in a 275 Rigby, which is the same caliber as a 7x57 or 7mm Mauser, and just put a new Trigicon active point scope on it and shoot some Hornady ammo. And trying to spend a little bit of time at my place shooting in my range, getting ready for that hunt. Those shots could be anywhere from 100 yards to maybe 300-400 yards. And just want to try to get ready for that hunt. And something I always wanted to do. There's something about, I don't know, I've loved hunting Europe in the past, but never had a chance to hunt Spain. And finally going to have an opportunity to do it.
That's awesome, Larry. Is that a pretty difficult hunt as far as terrain? Do you know terrain goes?
Every time I've hunted ibex in Austria, and I've hunted over in Asia with it as well, too. And from just the fact that these are goat-like animals, they are goats, live in some really rough country. So I'm not real sure what the country. I know that it's going to be pretty rocky. I'm not sure how steep it's going to be, but being in the mountains, I got a feeling it's going to be a little bit on the tough side. So, I've been trying to push away a little bit from that bluebell ice cream. Like I love to. Trying to get a little bit better shape, try to at least be able to walk up and down some of those hills, and knowing that there are going to be hills there.
You bet. Well, that's best of luck. You and Blake will have a good adventure, and folks can watch it, I would imagine, next year on Trailing the Hunter's Moon, you know?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. That'll be kind of the first hunt that we're doing for the 2020 season. And we've been very fortunate. I really want to say thank you to all the folks that watch the show. I mean, we had an absolutely fabulous year last year and set up to have a really good one this year, even better year this year. So thanks to all those folks that watch it. And remember, if they can't watch it on, if they don't have Dish or Direct or something, they can go to PursuitUpTV.com, or there's a special app as well, too, that Pursuit Up, that they can get. And they can watch all the shows at Pursuit Channel without a cost.
You bet. And I've done that, too, Larry. Just all you need is a good internet connection, and click on it, and you can. There's a lot of outdoor programs there. That's neat, and it's very interesting to me I've watched how people view outdoor shows and everything else, you know, how it's changed.
Right. Right.
It'd be interesting to fast forward, say, 10 years, you know, and I have a feeling a lot of what we watch is going to be online. Actually, we have it's very common tool to watch internet with, but Roku. You know, we have a Roku. And
right.
Gosh, you can look at, you know, you can watch everything from James Arness on Gunsmoke to, you know, I mean, serial shows. And we watch a lot of TV online right now, honestly, you know.
Yeah, well, our show appears there, too, so on Roku. But
yeah.
You're right. I think you're going to see more and more people. I've learned a long time ago and learning all the time more that most people don't have the attention span they had at one time. They want everything
yep.
to be a little bit quicker and all that. And as that has occurred, I think you're going to see, and as that continues, I mean, our generation didn't know what a computer was. Now, our generation, when they had a computer, was as big as a house initially to start with. And, you know, now technology's come such a long way that there's going to come a time, I think, there still will be some network-type TV, but I think so much of it's going to be actually watch like what you're talking about on Roku and a bunch of the other kind of internet networks, if you will.
Yep, that's one thing I really enjoy about our radio show that we do. You know, I always mention that, of course, we like to, you know, listen to it first right here live on the radio, you know,
right.
Real radio that you can tune in. But, you know, folks, these shows are archived each week. And you can simply go to catfishradio.org, and you can listen to Larry. It's always Campfire Talk, the first segment each week. You can listen to Larry and I talk in that segment. And then we'll usually have three other guests. And, you know, Larry, I've had a good buddy of mine that's really been sharing some good information with us. I think maybe we'll get him later on today's show, Josh Hauser. Josh is, actually, I met him down here by my home where I hunt. Josh has a company called Preferred Wildlife Systems, and they go in and enhance property for hunting and fishing to some degree, but they're all about, you know, creating food plots, clearing land, fixing, enhancing duck marshes, things like that. Very interesting guy. And I'd like to get him on and talk about planting right now, you know, planting trees and stuff and different plants to enhance wildlife. And this is kind of this is the time of year, I guess, for all that, you know?
It is. And this is the one. Matter of fact, when we get finished show today, I'm headed to my place, and I'm going to do a little fertilizing and maybe brown things. Some of the oak trees, kind of select oak trees, and kind of right along the edge of the drip line. But one of the things, too, Japanese honeysuckle is a really good plant that grows pretty much over the eastern two-thirds of the state. And it's not just regular honeysuckle. It's Japanese honeysuckle. But you can sprig it, and that's what I'm doing later today, too, is I'm going to go cut a bunch of sprigs and start poking those in the ground different places. And it's something that deer really like, and it provides a lot of habitat for other animals as well, too. And it can be fertilized, and it responds to fertilizer real well. Kind of like greenbrier and yaupon and some of those others. They really respond well to fertilizer, producing quality forage. And you can almost make a natural food plot out of those plants just by doing some fertilization.
You know, yeah, exactly. And then really these things, they live year to year. You don't have to replant them. When you mentioned the oaks, that was, I'll tell you a quick, you know, and our friends listening, got a buddy, Mark Billette, who's a friend of yours too, Larry.
Oh, yes.
Down in Groveton. Now, years ago, but Mark is now an outfitter, and they've got about a 2,500-acre ranch down there. But back in the day, he and I just used to hunt together, you know. And there was an old barn with a metal tin roof like they all had, you know, sticking
right.
up. It was probably 100 yards from some heavy bedding area for deer. About 100 yards. And there was a trail coming out under a fence out of this heavy bedding area. Now, around this barn was a bunch of oaks, oak trees. By a bunch, I mean probably 20. And Mark would fertilize those every winter, those oaks. And
yes,
I tell
sir.
You, Larry, I can remember now sitting in that barn where we used to, I was bow hunting at that time, and sitting in that barn hearing those acorns hit that tin. Those deer, I'm telling you, it would be like a traffic direction. I mean, those deer would start funneling under that fence about 30 minutes before the sunset, and run, literally run across the field about 100 yards and start eating those acorns. But Mark brought, I learned that from him years ago, you know, fertilizing the natural stuff like you're doing. That's that can really boost the actual food that the animals have, can it?
It can, and, you know, it makes one of the things that the fertilization does, it kind of makes what we kind of refer to as making the acorn sweeter. They have less tannic acid. And in a big area where you have a lot of oak trees, you can go in and pick out a little spot and fertilize maybe five or six oaks. And it didn't take very long. Those deer will figure out where those fertilized oak trees are, and they will walk by all these other oak trees, even though they may have a whole bunch of acres on the ground, to go to that one spot. So that right now is a good time to think about that, particularly with the number of acres that we had last year. So you might be able to just draw them to one area rather than have meat from every tree and being scattered all over the place.
You bet. They have an uncanny way, wildlife does, of finding the best food, don't they, you know?
Yes, sir, they really do.
Yep. Well, Larry, I tell you what, as always, I thoroughly enjoyed visiting with you. I think our friends probably know both of us might be a little bit hoarse. I feel good, but I got a little bit of a scratchy throat this morning, but I'm drinking some coffee, and I know you are too. We're going to be right back here with everybody next week at the same time, and I'm already looking forward to it, bud.
I am too.
Folks, that was Larry Wysoon. You might know him as Mr. Whitetail. He's the host of Trailing the Hunter's Moon on the Pursuit Channel. And, you know, Larry's a native Texan, a graduate of A&M University. He's got a degree in wildlife biology. Just an awesome guy. Great friend of mine. I'm fortunate to have Larry for a running buddy. We get to hunt and fish some, too, together throughout the year. But thanks to Larry for spending some time with us. And I tell you, you know, if you just sit around a real campfire with Larry for a while, if you keep your ears open, you can pick up some real good tips, not only on just wildlife habitat, but sometimes life in general, to be honest with you. This weekend, actually, to this evening, I'm going to be up on the upper end of Lake Fork with my buddy Jeff Rice. And we're going to be doing a benefit hog hunt, if you will, the Patriot Sporting Challenge that was held back in the fall. Well, Jeff put up a hunt. We're going to have a good barbecue dinner and have a blast, but for two people, on his Buck and Bass Ranch down there. It's up on the very end, upper end of Lake Fork, and it's some awesome hog habitat. Jeff keeps about, 12 or 15 corn feeders going year-round, and it truly is one of the best places I know to kill a wild hog. But a gentleman bid on it and won the hunt, and I think maybe he and his wife will be with us this weekend. It's going to be a whole bunch of fun. I'm really looking forward to it. I'm going to do a little bit of the cooking down there, and all the money from the Patriot Sporting Challenge that's drawn there at the Lake Fork Sporting Challenge goes to the Folds of Honor, and I'll have a newspaper article on that, and you can read that in the, you know, Greenville Herald Banner and other places here in next week. Folks, we are just about out of time. Thank you, as always, for joining me. Remember, you can always contact me through catfishradio.org. That's catfishradio.org, and we'll see you right here next week at this same time. Folks, this is Luke Clayton, and thank you so much for tuning in to today's show. Remember, you can listen to the archive of our shows at ketr.org. Today's show was made possible by the Dallas Safari Club, Smokin' Texas Electric Smokers, Air Force Air Guns, Darton Archery, Snaplock Hunting Blinds, Pyramid Air, Sightmark, maker of the Photon XT, and Catfish Bubblegum.
Luke Clayton has been addicted to everything outdoors since his childhood. He grew up hunting and fishing in rural Northeast Texas. Luke pens a weekly newspaper column that appears in over 50 newspapers. For videos, archived newspaper articles, and more information, visit catfishradio.com. This has been Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.